Hello, and welcome to another Raw. If you're reading this, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, if you can stand this without the music, all that really cool editing we do, the GM's Cut, as you're watching right now on Twitch, or perhaps it's in the future. We're not going to tell you if this is an uploaded video that we shot a while ago, or if it's live, so don't bother trying to talk to us. We're busy gaming. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at rolemongers.com. It's rolemongers@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments. Message us on Facebook. I am GM Jeff Ball on Twitter. We are Rolemongers on Twitter. We would love to hear from you. But not while we're gaming live. We're not used to that. We're not that fast. We're not that ready yet. So recording for our Twitch channel, The GM's Cut. Recording for our podcast, Star Wars Saga Edition, Dawn of Defiance campaign, we shot first. When last we left our heroes, our cameo guest star, Mr. Joe Gibson, a close personal friend of mine, playing his human cyborg pilot that they found sleeping in hibernation in a wall from the ship that they bought second rate. I mean, when you buy a new ship, a used ship, you never know what you're going to get. You don't know if it's a lemon. You don't know if they've cracked the odometer. Is there such a thing as a space odometer, guys? Oh, you know what it is? It's engine running hours. Works on motorboats, works on small engines, and it works on spaceships. There's like a clock that counts how many hours an engine has actually been in use, and that's your space odometer. It's canon. There you go. We don't know if they cracked it open. They don't know if they wound it back. You don't know if you even got a good deal. You've got a messed up Gatrok 720 that your new pilot, we don't know what was the droid in the last episode or two that landed it and pissed off Darga the Hutt. Where are you? Well, you're in a Nemoidian colony, and Cato Nemoidia is controlled by Darga the Hutt, and our party of ill-reputed working under the table for Senator Argana 3 months after 66. I wouldn't say you're trying to birth a rebellion, but I do think that the events that you guys will play out from book two, where we are, all the way to book 10, might spark Bail Organa's imagination going, maybe I could hire more mercenaries. Maybe I could get more people and stand against... Well, he hasn't cut to that point yet. Where are we? We are Darga the Hutt's palace, about to do a droid race. What? Yes, alien technology. Visors. Virtual reality helmets. The party, half the party have on. They've adjusted it. They've unplugged it. Why, even Hoss, played by Joe Gibson tonight, has ripped his helmet apart and used his jack in the back of his skull, gun Matrix Neo, and is trying to sort this out, sort of using the power of his brain, because a pilot uses pilot skill and dexterity. And this video game version of these VR helmets that control actual remote-controlled droids on swoop bikes on the track runs solely off of intelligence. And Joe, what did you... One thing you told me about Hoss.
Well, he's as smart as he is intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a smart man, I believe were your words. So your reputation of pilot can only get better from this point. We'll see how well you fudge rules. The droid attendant, translator, butler, maitrodomo, T3, we called him for short, pulls out his voice box harmonica looking vocabulator and puts in the big megaphone one. And it was...
Suker, suker, suker! Codinomobia! Droid Eraser! Start your engine now!
Gentlemen, your droids are on the line. You're looking into your virtual made-for-aliens, your heads barely fit in these things, visors, and your eye movements will direct the bikes, as well as looking at the video screen in your helmet, as if the blast shield were down, canon, to drive this thing. Intelligence rolls are needed. 3 laps around a course that has pitfalls, that has traps, that has boulders, not to mention we could play dirty. If you guys want to sacrifice speed points as you work your way around this track and try and do some nudging and budging on your fellow droid, I mean, no one's going to get hurt since some droids. It's all remote control. It's all good. Our lineup is Poser Sham, the Jedi class who hasn't revealed himself as a Jedi. Old Man Zinn. Let's hope the PSD doesn't kick in. And Haas, our new pilot that we really don't want to claim as our own. And wait a minute. Did I say the droid was a Motredomo? No. Darga has a Motredomo. His name is Ignvoss, I believe his name was. And he's still in the lineup. 4. And it's 5, 4, 3, 2. Where did that droid get panties from that he's waving? I don't know, but it's go time. Gentlemen, ripping off the starter line in time. Swoop bikes flying, turning on a dime, sweeping and swooping in amongst rocks, pitfalls, each other. This track, which used to be the Gladiator Pit, full of rocks, has been mulled over, bulldozed, hay baled, modified, and let's picture the NASCAR track, but take that end curve and just crunch it in like a go-kart track and some extra bends around here. So there is a backstretch, there is a big loop, but the other stretch ends prematurely and there's wiggle, wiggle, wiggle left, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle right, watch for the pit, watch for the cat who put a hay bale there, all that kind of thing, and back around the backstretch. Lap 1. Gentlemen, you try to navigate the course from a third-person view, from a first-person view, because your visor is hooked up to the optical sensors of the droid on the bike. So you see handlebars, you see track flying at you, and if you turn your head to the left, the droid turns his head. Sort of an in-cockpit view. Turn to the right, he looks to the right. So your head movements, or at least your eye movements, can move what the droid sees, what you see, as well as you got to kind of glare at the top corner for accelerate, glare at the bottom corner to decelerate, glare at the right to drift, you know, like, it's crazy. And you got to have some smots to pull it off. So as we rip off this line and head barreling towards the first turn in and out and back around, can I have a round of... all your speed points are at 0. A round of intelligence checks from our racers, please.
Do we get bonuses if we had passed the use computer check?
The bonuses that we had incurred earlier come in two forms. First of all, if you could smooth out the actual, the software,
yeah,
you get a +2. And what was your roll? Do you remember?
I got a 22 on my use computer.
And the DC was 20. So Poser is going to have a +2 to all of his rolls on this track today, gentlemen. And then the rest had to do with the interface going kapoof and people doing mechanics checks, which Zinn and Domo Arigato, Mr. Cyborg Haas Roboto, was playing around with. Just so that when this thing might attack your brain visually and overwhelm your senses, the +5 to its attack roll is reduced to +2. Because it doesn't quite overwhelm you. Or worse, I mean, it's not like it's hooked up directly to your brain. It just comes through your eyes. Oh, no, I forgot. Somebody duct taped live wires to a jack and stuck it in his head. It was been asleep and, like, do cyberdecks degrade in hyperspace, in hypersleep? I guess we're going to find out. A roll down the line, gentlemen. We have barreling down. We have Haas nudged forward on his right by Poser, pulling up front and trailing just a little bit behind. We have Old Man Zinn. And then Ignan is toe-to-toe with Haas. Poser taking an early lead. We maintain this. We run. We jostle. We get up to speed. You get used to the track. I mean, you don't pull shit on your first lap. You need to know your vehicle. You need to know your interface. And you need to know your track. And coming around, boo, 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 is Poser, Haas Ignan, toe-to-toe, and Brawl, bringing up the rear. Gentlemen, let us go to the board. And ding, lights light up. Well, more it's more like the droid is holding up a chalkboard.
Poser!
With 4 speed points for Poser.
Ooh.
3. Ooh. 3 for Haas. 2 for Ignan. And 1 for Zin.
Yay!
Crossing across the streaky starting, which is now becoming the finish line, into lap 2. Gentlemen, now that you have some points to spend, would anyone like to play dirty? Or you just want to barrel down, keep the throttle open, and hope for the best?
Okay, so quick question. So yep. Speed points can be used for, you know, like dirty tricks, attacking the other bikers.
You wager them. So okay. You have 4 points. Zin has 1. Okay, you can't wager points you don't have. So this is a gauge of how well you're doing. And if you have good speed points going, if you're up front, you're like looking over your shoulder, you have that chance to kind of veer and cut a guy off, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. You can wager your speed points 1 to 4. And then what you're going to do is you're going to roll a raw D20 plus the points you wager and attack another droid's reflex defense of 13. If you succeed, you damage that droid by the attack, and the actual pilot that's on the bike, the droid itself, gets a little bit mucked up and will lose the number of speed points that you wagered. And you don't lose yours. You actually get yours back. And the attacker where are we here? Blah, blah, blah. The attacking pilot gains the number of speed points equal to the number he wagered, while the defending pilot loses the same number of speed points. Failure indicates that the attacker loses the number of speed points, regardless of whether the attack roll succeeds or fails. Attacking pilot earns 1 less speed point on his next lap. So, even if you're in first place, Poser, if you pull some shit and you're still winning, you're only going to get 3 speed points next lap, even though you're up front. So there is a virtuous...
I would get an additional 4 as well. So if I wagered 4, I'd get 4 back, an additional 4, and then when I pass the line, I get 3.
Says the attacking pilot gains a number of speed points equal to the number wagered. So you sacrifice them, they're gone. You get them back, you're on par. What do you gain besides going slower the next lap? You're sticking it to the other guy. So you don't go faster. If anything, you go slower too. But you're really knocking points off the guy next to you. Sorry, you don't double it back. You see what I'm saying? You spend wager.
Okay, it isn't doubling, you just gain them back. Okay,
you just gain them back. So you're not going to lose any speed. But on the next lap around, if you get 1, you get 0. If you get 2, you get 1. You're dicking around, you're going to go a little bit slower. So gentlemen, into our next lap. A round of intelligence checks, please. Starting with our winning lap, Poser.
15.
Haas, what'd you get?
8.
Zin.
Got a 7.
And Ignan with a 2. So Ignan gets a single point. Zin gets 2 this time. Haas gets 3 more, and Poser gets 4 more, and everyone's playing nice. 8 points for Poser, 6 points for Haas. They're up front. Then there's a bit of a gap, and you've got 3 and 3. Now Ignan and Zin are at the back, neck and neck, bringing up the rear.
What an exciting race this afternoon!
You sure anybody doesn't want to dick around? I mean, it's party win and party win at the front. And unless Zin really wants to pull something on Ignan... I'm sure you're an honorable racer, Zin, right? You don't want to...
Well, right now, I want to build up some points before I piss them all away.
Well, we're entering the third and last lap. Like, the race is about to end.
Oh, God.
And we're like, we got Poser at 8, which means Haas would really have to blow it away to meet him on par, and Poser would really have to do badly. Now, the thing is, though, winning... doesn't mean, like I said, they're out front. It's not like Zin couldn't attack Poser. Anybody can attack anyone. There are all those chances where we bunch up on a corner. You know what I mean? In the long stretches, it's Poser, followed by Haas, followed by Aiden and Zin, are toe-to-toe. But anyone can go at anybody.
I'll go after Ignan. Why not? Just make things exciting. I'm still a little cranky from getting stomped in the gladiatory pit and having to get up. So
sure.
Or give up. So I've got kind of a grudge match going on there.
Haas, how about you? We'll get into that. I want to see if there's anybody else, causing some shit. Haas?
Yeah, I'll battle a non-party
member?
Ally, yes.
Okay. Why not? So you guys are like going to tag team the Mojodomo?
Why not? Go in a corner, give an elbow.
Well, it's a friendly race. I mean, the guy beside you is winning, and he's a party member. So did you want to maybe get some respect back and like put Poser in his place so that you actually win? If you attack Poser, you could actually win the race and get some respect back for yourself and the party as a pilot. If you guys just beat on poor Ignan, who's already at the back, Poser will win. Yay for us. But, you know, we're kind of tag teaming. I mean, either way, it's a good spectacle.
Okay.
I'm just curious how your character... just curious where your character's brain is at right now.
I personally think that would be karmically accurate, though, considering that they sent five people against three.
Yep.
Yeah. In the gladiatorial fight.
Oh, it's our revenge. Well, it's up to you, Haas.
I guess to maybe appease the hut, I will attack Poser instead.
Okay. So instead of being being the team player, you want to make a good spectacle and maybe get some thing with about. No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. All right. And Poser.
I'm just going to keep racing.
He's just flooring it, you know.
It's what I do. I don't have an axe. So Look, there's two things I feel comfortable with: the bike and the axe. I don't have the axe to chop at people, so I'm not going to ram. I don't like ramming the bikes. Even though they are junkers, they're still bikes.
It's true. Nice. But I will tell you this, Poser, and I'm usually very mean about your force use. You are in a room full of people who are all looking the other way. You personally are shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of people and a whole, like if you want to actually use the force in the room, on the pilots or on anybody here, I'll tell you right now, no one's going to see you do it because everyone is looking at the track.
That's fair. But at the same time, my hands are busy because, like I said last episode, I am strumming away right now.
Oh,
we got some heavy metal going.
He's playing his own. Oh. See, now that I think might distract you a little bit.
I just got like the Knights of Sidonia in my head.
He's got the plus two for the hardware. It's eye movements. I'll say it for flavor. I'll look it for flavor. You're playing a good riff. You know, you're doing the riff. You know, you're not doing anything complicated. You're not doing some idiot.
Yeah, I'm not going like a 10-minute solo.
Juicing yourself, inspired self. Yeah, E-Bard. I get it. Okay, all right. Yeah. Remind me to
cage the rancor. You know, just melody. You know,
okay, getting into that. And you know what? I want to see how this plays out. We're coming into the end of the second lap, and the points are awarded. And before we roll for your actual racing, I'd like to do these attack rolls. So, let's start with Zin going for Ignan. And you know what? Ignan could attack Zin, could attack anybody. But again, for his own standard, I think Ignan's going for, if he goes for the leader... If I got 4 points, that would put me at 7. I could at least get ahead of Haas. So I think I'm going to attack the guy that I need to beat, not the actual leader. So Ignan's going to attack Haas. Haas is attacking Poser, and Zin is attacking Ignan just because of the numbers I'm looking at here. Makes sense to me. So let's start at the back with Zin. Get to a good corner, pick your moment, crowd the guy, jam the bike, make it lean over. Roll a d20. How many points you have 3 would you like to wager to add to this roll, sir?
I'm going to wager 2 points.
Okay. Wagering 2.
Okay, here we go. 16.
All right. And next, we have Ignan attacking Haas. And I'm going to wager all 3. And got a 7. That's a miss. Haas attacking Poser. How many you want to wager?
4.
Okay. Roll plus 4.
20.
Oh, that's success. That's a fail. That's success. And Poser, just drilling the line, and he's being a good boy. Okay, now that we have the math out of the way, let me break down the action to you. All right? We're coming along. We're zippity-zip-zip-zip. And we're just crossing that line, and before anything can be really tallied for the last and final lap, everyone crowds up at that last corner, and we just see Zin just lean, you know, the droid just leans wide into that, into Ignan's bike, and hits him. And I lose 2 speed points, so that drops my total, -2, with a successful hit. I'm trying, Ignan is trying to recover and use the momentum of the outward push, maybe get the droid to scrape and stick his leg on the wall, and the bracket just falls right off and just leans it back the other way, trying to cut hard into a long turn to hit Haas, and just goes too wide and misses completely. Doesn't get anything back. And wagered 3 points. So I had 3 points. I wagered all of them, and I'm at -2, so I just lost a total of 5 points and only had 3 to start.
So as I rip past him, I'll kind of lean into him, then reach over and shut his ignition off.
Well, the funny thing is, if anyone reaches 0 points, the droid is destroyed. So his, you control the sort of left-right type of thing. A specific hand movement, like getting the droid to, like, pull ignition, doesn't happen. But I'll tell you this. He's reduced by speed so greatly with his own antics, and that you leaning in with, you know, having your droid bike hit him or whatever, the engine just cuts out, and this thing sputters, spins, and goes into the wall. And everyone just goes nuts. Ignan is down! Oh, the house can't win anymore! Darg is like... Haas successfully hits Poser's bike with his own, these are remotes, DC of 13 reflex with a 20, and wagered 4 points. Poser, you lose 4 speed points. Now, this is the really fun part. Ignan is out. You guys currently have Poser at 4. Haas on par because no one hit him. Ignan is out. And Zin gets his 2 point back, which means he's at 3. When we come around for our final lap and you guys roll your intelligence to really put the pedal to the metal, you will each earn 1 less point than you normally would. So instead of the winner getting
except
4, he'd...
Me.
Hmm? Yeah, except anyone that didn't fight. So, but for these guys, if they won, it would be 3 instead of 4 and 2, you know, all the type of thing, except for Poser. But Poser's been really knocked down because of Haas's hit. So, gentlemen, the final lap. Coming into the final stretch, roll boys, and sing as Poser, and so on, and the thing, and roll, Sunday. And Haas gets
10.
I got 15 again.
Poser 15. And Zin.
So how many points am I earning? I have 4 points now.
No, you're good. You're on par. Okay. So you roll your
17.
Roll your intelligence. 17. Oh, 17 for the win. So out of nowhere, waiting for the last minute, you know, you see Zin pulls his ignition. The droid just, like, rips it out, and the thing sputters, and then the droid jams it back in and cold starts it. And because it sputters, it actually, it's almost like a reverse nitro, and it just kind of cough, cough, kapaw, and it sputters this sucker, you know, because it's at full throttle. You ever let the clutch out of a more bike too soon? It stalls, but the thing lurches forward like mad. So relying on inertia for the engine, and Frank does his little key trick finally, and it gives it like this little kick boost and launches him into the lead with Zin crossing the line not first, because like the speed points will determine who actually hits the line first. But Zin goes zipping up and could possibly nail this. So Zin, who should get 4 with his best roll, but only gets 3. Has a total, and I'll reveal this in a moment. Ignan's out. Haas, who got 10. And is in third place, so that would be 4-3-2. You fought. You only get 1. has a total. And Poser, who got second place in the speed points, so instead of the max four, gets three, because you didn't do any fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, boys, this is close. This is close. Zin punches it, and this guy comes flying, and you literally see both Haas's droid looking over his right shoulder, Poser's droid looking over his left shoulder, and here comes Zin's droid just shaking and rattling like that type of thing. And the two droids at the front, Poser's droid and Zin's droid, or Poser's and Haas's droid, look at each other and go, whoa, freaking spark that. They both look forward and cross the line simultaneously, ladies and gentlemen, with 7 points each. Haas and Poser cross the line neck and neck, and right, and I mean right behind them with 6 points is old man Zin's droid.
What a race!
So they go nuts, and Dar's like,
not bad.
And everyone takes off their helmets. Haas unplugs himself. And everyone's looking at Darga. There's a long wait. Darga takes that goblet with those green gems he likes so much and slurps his green slurp. And the wide eyes narrow and he sauces it around. And then he looks up at the droid and waves his little flag viciously in his foam finger like, yeah! And the droid goes nuts.
That's awesome.
Little foam finger. I got the mental image they got. That was brilliant.
He just reaches down behind him and pulls up a foam finger.
And now, as tradition, any tie in a droid race is settled by lethal combat between the pilots.
Everybody's like, what?
Literally, just flip. Whoa.
No, 20 minutes later, it's back to a gladiator pit, and there's like, they've got Poser and Haas physically with pistols back to back, you know? And, you know, there's Matt going, Matt, you know the line I'm looking for?
Nope, I don't.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. No, I kid. The droid does say this, right? And everyone's looking like, what the hell? And Darga's like, and throws his goblet at him, hits him in the side of the head. He sparks and like, I mean, you know, tie. Tries trying to get you guys to kill each other. Mr. Wit.
Mr. Ball.
We forgot to bet.
I wasn't going to say nothing. I was just letting you ride it out. You're having so much fun.
Oh, you see, wait, I want to bet, you know, type of thing. So I'll tell you what.
10,000 credits, I believe.
I will let you bet. I'll let you bet what you can produce. Show Darga the money. Show him the credits.
What I can produce?
Hang on. Show him the money, okay? And I'll roll a D4.
Okay.
And the D4, one being Poser, two being Haas, three being Ignan, four being Zin, was who you bet on. You could win it. You could lose it. Two guys lost. Two guys won. We're talking 50-50 odds. And I know the hut here, up to a certain amount, you know, like you don't just like, and here's my mortgage and my ex-wife. How did I get here? You know, no. You know, up to a reasonable, you know.
How much did I lose to him?
You and Zin coughed up money together. It was like 500 and it was like 1,000. So I think you guys were like down either like 1,000 or 2,000 credits last time.
I think it was 2,000.
Jay covered a good amount of that, didn't he?
He had to cover it all.
Yeah.
I had nothing. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to pay to keep them alive. I have no money.
Oh, geez. Is that why he was so pissed? I thought he actually had morals and secretly liked Poser. You just say you drained his bank account and his research grant goes away and that's why he's pissy?
A little bit of both.
I would go check on Merrick.
I'll wager $3,000. I got that nice delivery from Alonzo.
First guy he met you with was Merrick. I'd go be checking on Merrick, make sure the doctor ain't taking a pound of flesh right now. Just saying. That's like, this could be dicey. All right, I'll tell you what. In 500 increments, four being 2,000, three being 150, you know, two being, right? So roll me a D4 for the money.
I will show you the money. Dice. D4. Ha ha. Clicky clicky. Do it.
Two. You are willing and cajole them into betting a cool grand credits. 1,000 credits on the line.
All right.
And as I said, because I've got my pegboard of Poser, Haas, Ignan, Zinn, 1, 2, 3, 4, we'll see for whatever reason, you know, whatever droid, nothing personal, who you bet on. Roll me a d4.
One.
He bets on Poser, and Poser was a winner, but it split. So let's see who Darga bet on, because you're betting Darga, right? See who
yep.
Darga bets on. If he bet on Poser or on Haas, who like won, they won together, you both win.
And honestly, yeah, Swoop Bikes, I would have totally bet on Poser. Like, no question.
Yeah, there you go.
I've seen him ride.
Who did I bet on? I bet on Zinn. Darga's like, I like the old guy. He's got balls. Love that, you know, type of thing. He bet on Zinn, and Zinn lost. So, dude, you are up a grand.
Yes. Yes. I'll just funnel that straight over to the ship's account.
Okay. Somebody to track that, because I never will. So.
I'll just put it in my pocket for now, but I'll just remind me I got to pay my debts.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I got to say, it's been an exciting day. We've met slavers. You saved Darga from being poisoned. We had a lovely sunset race, and the sun is going down. And Darga announces,
Poser almost died.
And Poser almost died. And Merrick almost died. And you and Dr. Lether on a break. You may not be dating so much anymore. You're not sure. You and Lether on a break right now.
It's
and
complicated.
You can't always see eye to eye with them science folks. They're all logic and facts and needless to say, I stretch the facts from time to time.
Let's say, because we pondered your level last time, that after this short rest and you retire, you guys are fourth. Frank and Haas are still third. And Darga calls it a day. Court is no longer in session and you are allowed to retire to your rooms, you know, what have you. But he will not, you know, he retires for the evening. Things wind down. There's still guards about, and there's still the odd person doing this and that. But, you know, the business day is over. So, changing the map to your personal chambers, what do you boys and girls want to do?
Go check on Merrick before settling in.
Okay.
I don't need I don't even need the doctor for that. I've got enough medical knowledge, and we're not really talking. So,
okay. So you want to leave the grounds, talk to the guys, find out where the ship's parked, or have Haas walk you back there, or Zinn, who came off of the ship, or.
It's a good question. Would they like to accompany me?
I don't know. What's Zinn doing?
Yeah, I'll walk with.
Okay.
I can show you the way.
Okay, so everyone heads for the ship. What about you, Poser? You gonna take these?
Poser is going back to his room.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is nice digs, man. Like, you understand? Like a 20x20 room. That's huge. That's the master, and there's like six of them, man. It's like, this is good stuff.
Nice. Plus, I have all my stuff here and my bike somewhere. I should probably go look for that.
We established not city blocks, but like blocks. Like this is on a bike. Go around the corner. You know, a minute on a minute and a half, like to get from your room to get to the ship, even in a hurry, would take a couple of minutes tops, right?
Yeah. So pop in, check on Merrick's vitals.
Okay. And then what? You going to crash there or are you going to come back to your room?
No. I'd come back.
Okay.
Maybe I'd do some shopping. I don't know. Just pay a grand.
Get on the holiday.
You want to know what? I'll survey the ship to see how superficial the damage was and stuff like that. I don't have a lot of mechanics experience, but.
So we're in our wind down mode. People are polishing weapons. You guys are separated. You had a big day together. There's downtime, you know. You're back and forth to the ship. But when it comes time to hunker down, before I want to start this new day, I'd like to know who's on the ship and who's taking Darga up on these lavish rooms.
Oh no, I'm totally crashed out on the ship.
Okay.
Oh, I'll go back to the room.
Okay. Haas?
I'm taking Darga up on the room.
Okay.
I am on the ship.
So Leth, Merrick, Haas, and Zinn are aboard the ship two blocks away. Poser and Rahal Oberus are alone.
Maybe I'll take the time to have a heart to heart with posers so I can break the news as to how big of a dickhead I am as compared to the version that I'm sure Leth would give him.
Yeah, he hasn't had a chance unless he's like, okay, so you go to
his... you know, listen, buddy, about that little scrap in earlier, feelings,
hang on. Hang on a second. So you're in your room, you know, and you polish your Stormtrooper armor and you repaint the pinstripes because they just really wear so easily. You need a better paint. And you're going through all this stuff, and then you decide you want to talk to Poser. Do you want to call him on the comms, bring him to your room? Do you want to walk and knock on his door?
No, I'd go and knock on his room. This is an apology, so I'll go to him.
Okay. So, Poser, you're in the middle of something, but someone knocks on the door.
I'll stop.
Okay.
I mean, because at the moment, I'm just kind of meditating and playing.
Oh, I've got you. You've got this little hologram recording of Leth going, and then he did this and this. Leth got to him first. He actually left a recording of, you know, Leth spelling out the entire visual fight from their perspective. And that's when our leader hung you. No, you know, just as like Rahul comes in, you just see.
I don't know anything about what happened.
No, you don't. You don't. That's
Leth never told me after he brought me back. So
right. Okay.
All right. So yeah. So I'll lay the axe down on the bed and get up, answer the door. Yeah.
Hey, Poser. I hope you're feeling all right after this morning's encounter. Y'all didn't fare well against them gladiators.
They kind of cut us off guard, and, you know, being outnumbered as such wasn't very helpful.
No, I'd imagine not. Now, and honestly, to be truthful, I did kind of hang you guys out to dry there at the end. I could have been a bit more supportive, but
I mean,
what can I say? I'm trying to build an image for myself here with the Daga.
I mean, I understand not wanting to fight, but how did you hang us out to dry if not by that?
Well, let's just say before things got to where they had gotten to, I was given the option to call things to a halt. And I didn't take it, Pud.
On what exactly? I'm a little hazy after the two Gamorreans kind of gave me an axing.
Well, to be honest, I think he was unconscious at this point, but Daga gave me an opportunity to buy your way out of that fight, and I didn't take it, son.
Huh.
Knock, knock. Reasoning? Knock, knock on the door, interrupting this crucial moment. And then TC-663, the butler droid, lets himself in. Pulls his vocabulator, the annoying one, and switches it for one, not the loud one, but for one that's very thin. And he's like,
"Ah, I finally caught you alone. Greetings from my master, but not whom you believe I serve. It is true I serve the crime lord, Daga the Hutt, but I also serve another master, and I have come to convey a small piece of information on my master Switch's behalf."
At the mention of his name, I'm just like... I meant to get in touch with that guy. It's been ages. Mm-hmm. I owe him a bit of information in exchange for his patronage.
And as he, you know, leans in, yes?
Indeed.
Sure.
Several shadowy figures in the night depart Daga's compound and head towards the ship in the middle of the night, quietly slicing their way in through the locked door and boarding the, I want to say, Arcalon, ancient giant turtle, and boarding the Arcalon with a nefarious purpose. Gentlemen, I'd like to say I'd see you next week, but we're early. So what I'm going to say, while T66 starts explaining in a conversation that's probably going to outlast a combat, and even if you guys are immediately interrupted with comms going, get in here type of thing, unfortunately 5 minutes on foot or more is hundreds and hundreds of combat rounds. we spend...
I have my swoop bike here.
Okay.
My it's not a swoop bike, sorry. It's an actual Imperial speeder bike.
Even if I
fit too.
Even if I took time, 5 to 10 rounds, to hack the door and get aboard, let's quickly go to a ship view and find out where everybody's napping. We assume the infiltrators board here at 24, the middle of the ship. They come up to the lounge and their seats, they can go left, right, or right behind them where the bridge is. One, oh so quietly, climbs stairs and peeks into the bridge, nodding with the others. The others fan out either side of the massive generator and check the engineering station, making galactic lore checks to see if we have any idea of the layout of this type of ship. We quietly head, luckily, because there's only really three ways to go. Check the lab doors, you know, check the cargo bays at the back of the ship, or come immediately left and right under that bridge and start peeking our way into bunks and doors where you guys should be sleeping. Regardless, if number 9 here is the refresher, and if you guys are near the bridge in the bunks, there are 3 bunk rooms where we sleep. They're all marked number 8. One by the port side dorsal, one a little bit towards the center, the actual loading ramp to get people up and down, the refresher, which is showers and, you know, YMCA kind of stuff going on, and the starboard side bunk. So I'm asking you, quite honestly, if I fan my guys out to peek in every door and figure out where the crew is silently before we strike, or if we're lucky enough to bunch up somewhere, even somebody as weird as sleeping for no good reason in a closet or in an escape pod, where are you lying your head right now, Haas?
Be the center, because it'd be the closest to the cockpit.
So you're in the bunk that's just on the left there, the number 8, that's right next to the ramp.
Yep.
Okay. And Zin?
Well, last time we bunked up, I was also in number 8.
I have 3 number 8s. So are we port side, center, or is several bunk rooms here, as I say.
There we go. I've moved my token.
Okay. So you're sleeping with Haas in the same room.
That's not creepy.
No.
Getting to know.
It's like going to the bathroom and having the person walk up and use the urinal right next to you.
No, Zin's used to being a field ranger. Like, here's a guy that if I don't trust you, I'm going to sleep over here by the tree, prop myself up, and watch you all night. If I do trust you, great. I'm going to sleep. You got my 6. That's not, you know, that's not outside of field training. I'd give it to him, yeah. So Haas and Zin are pretty close to the ramp. We spread out, okay? I can tell you that Leth and Merrick are not in this room with you. That's all you know. The guys fan out, check a couple things, look for possibly security, maybe peek ahead in a door, maybe even trip some kind of alarm that that Leth might have set in his lab. Perhaps triggering a small explosive that for some crazy reason that might blow at the bottom of your ship that Merrick has rigged on the ship. I'd like to turn to the studio audience and guess a percentage chance that Leth has rigged or protected his research, if not his lab. I would give that a 50% chance, yeah?
I would give it way higher than 50%.
Sorry,
at
sorry.
Least
same as the chance that Merrick put a bomb somewhere.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. At least 75.
Sorry, yeah, a good 80% he's protecting his research. Sorry, bothering to protect the room that it's in. He could lock down and crypt key and code and you know, hide a pan. Like, because this stuff's all digital. Like, he does have resources in a lab, but you know what I'm saying? Like, vital information is probably digital and stored somewhere. So backing off down to, I'll give you 75% that there's at least an alarm, or he's got the droid going or something. Okay.
Double. No, you know that we know that the droid is not going because he's got it all taken apart.
That's right. Double zeros for whatever reason. The droid's apart. He's worried about Merrick. He doesn't want Merrick getting up. Merrick got up and grabbed him by the throat. I blame you. Remember that? What if Merrick gets up and thrashes? Whatever system he's got going, currently non-active. Now, Merrick, if you were going to put a bomb on your own ship to deter boarders, where would you put that bomb? Should we text Ryan? call Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
Wouldn't it be on 24? Because isn't it 90% of the time we use the cargo bay 13 anyway?
To get in and out of the ship, most of the time we do actually load through the bay doors because we're usually rolling in with a speeder bike.
Yeah. Like 95% of the time, like we go up through the cargo bay anyway. Especially if they're closing up for the night, he would guarantee drop a trap on 24.
Sure. And we could probably disarm it, find it, because it's a door. I'm talking about Merrick. I'm talking about, well, that's the first bomb. That's the one they expect. I want to know. We're past that one.
Oh, okay.
We're past the crazy one where it's like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure.
I call this bomb the Spanish
position. I'm not saying that there isn't a trap there or a bomb or something, but it's like,
no one suspects.
You know, where is that? You know, is it in the engine room and there's like the whole ship goes, or, you know, is he just wrap himself in a dynamite vest and just sleeps on the trigger? Beep, 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 beep. You know, like, what are we doing here? I don't know. We should call him up. Let's call him up, right? While they're searching the ship, because it could take some moment sneaking around some stealth, you know. Making a perception in your sleep at negative 10, Zin and Haas. And let's go back to good old 6-6 here. We'll see if we can't find out where Ryan might have put that bomb. But getting back to 6-6. So 6-6, he interrupts your heart-to-heart, boys. Says he works for Switch. It's not really a name he could just pull out of the air, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like... I gotta like, if you're American, you put a bomb on your own ship to deter boarders, where would it be? I mean, it's a very simple, you know, very simple question.
That sounds like a straightforward question.
Yeah, well, we'll see if he answers. But right now, back to 6-6 and your perception rolls, boys. Haas?
A 2.
At negative 10.
Yeah, well, that's with my mind.
Yeah. So 9. Not factor in negative 10 penalty.
You guys are like, I thought you were going to take first watch. I think you were first watch.
I locked the door. That's good enough, right? There's a bomb on one of these doors. I still can't find it. I'm not going out there.
It's been a long day, Zin. You're very tired, and you succumb to a deeper sleep, trusting in the security of the ship. Haas, sleep is your middle name. I mean, you've been cryo-slept and injected, you know, Riddick sleeped, and it's just like, sleep, yeah, I got that. There's a button right... You know. Hope somebody wakes me in the morning with the toggle, you know, to get up, you know. Yeah, no, it's just like, you know. How creepy that would be if, like, all the lights on his little cybernetics go off, but his real eyes still open, just glaring at you.
Creepy.
Put him in the cockpit, you know. No one will board. Look, there's a driver in the window. They approach the ship. They can see Haas sitting in the cockpit. No one will come aboard.
Like a scarecrow.
Yeah, he literally is. That's good. I like that. No, but seriously, with a slightly still, I mean, robotic, but smoother voice.
I work for Switch. And I have a message. I have information.
Yeah, do tell. I got some information for him, too, but that'll have to wait till I'm done with this situation. That's for sure.
I have been monitoring communications that are leaving, beaming out onto the holonet from Dargus Palace, and it seems that someone has been transmitting information to the Empire while the Hutt sleeps, and receiving instructions in return.
How very interesting.
I've been sending these messages on to Switch, my master, but the Crime Lord has so far been unable to break the encryption. My master asked that I turn the encrypted transmissions over to you to see if you could possibly make something of it. Share and share alike?
Well, I ain't no slicer, but I know my way around a terminal or two. Okay. Let's have a look.
He gives you the proverbial stick, you know, the jump drive.
I pull out my data pad.
If you're caught using that, I don't know you.
In a very Neo voice. And then he switches his vocabulator and walks out.
Oh, that's what I've put my rabbit.
And he goes running off down the hall.
Come here, kitty, kitty.
Dear rabbit kitty. That's awesome.
Slice, dice. I mean, you got your little, you might need a better computer, ship's computer, the droid, maybe the personal computer that Leth bought. You know, you have a data pad and it goes, look, this is a file. It's encrypted. You can't open it. You can't look at it. We can't even tell you how big it is, but it's there.
Yeah, I'd probably have to take it back to the ship.
Hmm.
Well, no. That certainly was an interesting little interruption to our conversation, Poser. Again, just wanted to say I'm sorry and let you know. No hard feelings. Kind of say it as a question.
I assume there was more reason to your decision than just the coin.
What other reason do I need? I mean, yes, of course there was.
Rahul, remember we spoke of your edge when you have an advantage in a negotiation and don't? Poser's been very subservient to you, very amicable, very chummy with you. And yet your edge is telling you for some reason you do not have advantage in this negotiation. And even though Poser's guitar, half polished, half disassembled, sitting way over there on a table, begins to tremble just slightly on that table as he disappointedly talks to you. Thought you should know.
Right. So, enough of that. I think I might head back to the ship with this and see what I can figure out. Get a joint? Crack open a cask of that Eldarian brandy I stole from the Senator's place when we was there last.
I think I'll have to turn you down on the brandy, but I'll come with. I'd actually like to bring my bike back to the ship now that it's closer.
It's a good idea.
I prefer not to leave it here, if possible. Let me grab the axe. Give me a sec.
Sure. And then I'll head back to my quarters and I'll leave instructions with Alonzo to just kind of hang out here. And if Darga or wants to get a hold of us, then he's to relay a message via comms.
Okay.
Placeholder Alonzo.
Oh, right. Alonzo, where is he? Is he on the ship?
No, he's with me. He's in my room.
Oh, okay. He's back in your room. He's putting on the pinstripes on the armor. You're just watching him polish it.
Yep.
You're on the holonet to shopping.
And now that he's there, I'm not going to be pouring my own drinks unless, he's elsewhere.
It's late in the evening. The guest quarters of Darga's palace are quiet and peaceful. Small lights faintly illuminate the common area and the guest wing, and a silence and stillness permeates the area, as though the building itself were in a deep sleep. The occasional shuffle of a servant's footsteps breaks the silence of the night. Corin, slender, wearing gray, overlapping robes, and brandishing a customized blaster pistol. His target, asleep, unaware of his presence. Eyes closed to menacing slits, the Corin seems to radiate danger as he prepares to pull the trigger. And we'll see you next time on We Shot
so
First.
Oh, no way.
That's horse.